that you are King of Kings, that you are Lord of Lords, that you are the Prince of Peace, that you are the Great I Am, that you are the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Father, you are the bright and morning star. You are the giver of life. Father, you are life. You are life in abundance. And Father, we say thank you that you woke us up this morning, God. Thank you, Lord, that we can praise you, God. Thank you, Lord, all that you've done for us in our lives, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Father, we ask for more of you, Lord. More of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this morning it's really special to stand here before you guys because a year and a half ago I could never imagine myself speaking in front of people. I was shy. I was always in high school. I was the one in the corner. So I was the one. I was the black sheep. So I was in the corner always. And I gave my life to God about a year ago. And it's really special to stand here. I'm really honored to be here. Really honored that you guys come. But I know it's not about me. It's all about Him. I love it when there's a lot of people, because God's word says, where there are two and more in His name, there is with us. And today it's all about Him. So this morning I'm really honored to stand here before you guys. I can remember when my grandfather passed away. I had to speak at the wedding, because in our family there was a dream about the wedding the day before he passed away, or the week before he passed away. And we also saw my grandmother in the dream, him and my grandmother. And we believe that when God came to fetch him, that they have a wedding in heaven. So whenever I say, I wish he was here, and I had to speak at his funeral, but we can say wedding. And then I could never speak in front of people. I was always nervous. I was afraid of people. I was afraid staring people in the eye and speaking to them. But on that day, God showed me something, and I want to share it with you guys. At the funeral, I had to speak, and it was on stage. There was a lot of people. I was nervous. I had this whole thing I wanted to say word by word by word by word, and then I just narrowed it down. And as I was up on the stage, God just told me that it doesn't matter if you speak to one person, if you speak to 10 people, or if you speak to 10,000 people. It's always you in front of the Father. So it's always an audience of one. It's always you in front of God. And God just healed that. And I'm so at peace speaking in front of people. I know it's all about Him, and I know it's what He wants to do in our lives. I can't do anything but just to love Him and just to live for Him. I think it was in a week or 2 weeks ago, I was driving in Milnerton, and I really felt, I need to share this, because it's the gospel, it's good. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And once you have tasted and once you have seen that He is good, you don't want to look elsewhere. You don't want to taste anything else. You only want to taste Him. And I was driving in Milnerton, and I just felt God's presence and felt the joy. And I had to stop somewhere, because I had to share it with someone. And, I stopped, and me and my brother was with me, and we bought a Coke, and we gave it to one of the car guards, and we just ministered to them, and we just loved them. Because how many times do we just walk around these people, and we just think, but God loves them. God loves them. Even people that works in the generators, that works in the bathroom, I speak to them, I pray for them, I love them. Because sometimes we tend to forget about them, and people need to know that God loves them. And I feel I need to, people need to know it through me, because God does love them. It's not like you're making something up. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world, so God loves them." And this morning I'm really honored to be here before you guys. I can remember 3 months ago, not 3 months ago. It was my third month in God, so I was 3 months old in God. And we had something here in church. It was a Wednesday night. And I was standing right there. I can still remember it. And JJ was in front here. And God was speaking to me. He was telling me, go up and say something. I didn't know what to say. I was afraid. I was scared to speak in front of people, like I said. And JJ, he looks at me. And I could just see he's calling me. So God worked through him. And he called me up and he said, just say something. And I didn't know couldn't speak any scripture at that time. I was new in Christ. It was about 6 months ago. And I just prayed. That's all I did. And I asked God to anoint my lips, and I asked God to make me feel comfortable. Like, people say I have a lot of boldness, but I don't believe it's this boldness, but I call it confidence. And my confidence comes through seeking God. It's knowing that I'm right with the Father. It's knowing that He loves me. It's knowing that He's pleasing with me. That's where my confidence comes from. And in 1 John 17, it says, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came from Jesus. And you have grace on the one side, which is favor. It's abundant. It's a lot of joy. The Greek word is aletheia, for grace. So you have grace here. I love the word grace. I'm all for grace. It says it's the divine inspiration of God upon the heart and the outward reflection of God upon the life. So I'm all for grace. I love grace. And Jesus brings grace in our life. And on the other side, you have truth. Okay? The Greek word for truth is aletheia. The Greek word for grace is charis. So you have grace, you have truth here, and you have grace here. Truth, biblical truth. The word truth means straightforwardness, straight to the point, as it is, boom, done. So you have grace and truth here, and many times, people around us, everywhere we see, we hear, you see people just talking in grace. So there's no truth, and the grace is all about the grace message that's going around these days. God loves us so much that we can still do what we want to do. We can, you know, God is love. And you have truth on this side, biblical truth. And the truth cuts you. Whenever you read scripture, when I first came to God, the truth cut me. And I was like, man, I didn't see this. I didn't know this. So, truth and grace. And if we as people can put that together, and if we can work in grace and in truth, and if it comes together like a covenant, like grace and truth, if it comes together, it fits perfectly. One thing will happen, and you'll start to walk in the light as He is in the light. In 1 John 1:7, it says, walk in the light as He is in the light, and you have fellowship with one another. The word fellowship in Greek means koinonia, and it means unity, brothership, togetherness, one accord, focused vision. Boom, that's what I'm going to do. And then it continues, 1 John 1:7, walk in the light as He is in the light. Then you have fellowship with one another. So it's that fellowship, koinonia, togetherness. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us, His Son, from all sin. So the blood of God, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And that's the grace and the truth. Because truth calls you to do something, grace enables you to work it out. Grace is God's empowerment. Grace is the love God has us. Grace is what enables us to please God. Without grace, it's impossible to please God without grace. And this morning, I'm planning on bringing you the gospel of all that I know. So, are you guys ready? Yeah. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Okay, so this morning, my title is, We Are Called. We Are Called. When JJ phoned me on Monday, I was like, he wanted me to speak. He called me, and I kind of knew that I was going to speak because I could feel it. And he told me 2 months before the time, get something ready. When I call you, then you have to speak. And he called me. I saw the muscle Monday morning, and I thought, oh, I'm speaking Sunday. I can already see this. And I'm phoning him, yes, Jerry, what's happening? And he says, you're speaking Sunday. And I'm like, I was thinking of an excuse, but there is nothing. And I'm like, yes, send me the slides. So I really feel that. I just want to share what's on my heart this morning. I spend time with God every day, and how many times when we need to go speak, we study the Bible like never before, deep into the Word, but it should always be on our tongue. So I just speak my life. I didn't prepare much. I just was doing the slideshow. So I'm just going to speak life and what God did for me in this year and a half. So this morning I want to share the story of Gideon. I'm going to share the story of Gideon, and I want us to focus on Gideon. So I'm not going to speak too much about Israel and how they were in the Midianites kept them in captivity for 7 years. I want us to focus on Gideon, and I want us to focus on the character he was. I want us to focus on the boldness he had and the relationship Gideon had with God, basically. And Gideon is found in the sixth chapter, and Esau was under the oppression of the Midianites for 7 years. He was under the oppression, and God needed someone to save Israel, and Gideon was the perfect one. Gideon was the perfect one. And I want you, as I'm reading scripture, I want you to picture the whole story of Gideon. And I want you to picture how God puts Gideon on like a glove, like that puppet shows when you put someone on like a glove and you speak to the puppet. I want us to look at how Gideon puts God on like a puppet and how God uses him. And I really believe that God wants to use all of us. We are called, and we are the perfect fit. We are made in His image and in His likeness. But all God is looking for is the willingness. Are you willing to go the extra mile? Are you willing to put your faith in action? And this morning, it's faith in action for me because it's my first time, you know, bringing a message. But I love it. I love being out of my comfort zone. I love being out of my comfort zone because you always go when you're out of your comfort zone. And the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter to comfort us, to teach us, to heal us. I haven't gone to Bible school. I haven't done any of that. Scripture stuff that I know is what the Holy Spirit taught me. So I want us to look at Gideon. And Gideon was out one day in the field, and it says in Judges 6 that the Midianites, they took everything, and Israel was hiding, and they were going up into the mountain, into the tents. They were scared because the Midianites took over the men from the city. And Gideon was out one day on the field. He was threshing wheat. And he was out there, and the angel came to him, and I'm just making the story very short. And then the angel said, "Gideon, you're going to lead God. I mean, you're going to lead Israel, and you're going to save Israel." And Gideon, the angel addresses Gideon as a mighty man of valor, mighty man, mighty warrior, it says in other translations. So Gideon was already, God already saw Gideon fit to lead Israel. God already saw Gideon as the man to use, as the one that can lead Israel. And God came to Gideon, and the angel addresses Gideon. And in Judges 6:14, it says that, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' And the angel came to Gideon, and Gideon was out one day. And Gideon's response was harshly, as you read up. You can go through the whole book, the whole Gideon story later on. I'm just making it short. So I want you to get the picture of how God uses Gideon, and how God uses Gideon as a glove. And the angel comes to Gideon, and Gideon is out there, and he responds hardly, like he's like, "Man, how can I do that? How can I save Israel? I'm from a poor background. I don't have enough men. The Midianites are going to kill us," because there were a lot. And God gives a promise to Gideon, and God sets a task before Gideon to lead Israel, and God has a task for all of us in our lives. You don't always need to be in full-time ministry to be honored by God. A lot of times, people want to be in front to be honored by people. And God showed me that you don't need to be honored by people. You need to be honored by Him. Whether you speak here in front, whether you're at home, whether you're in the shop, whether you're at school, you're always in full-time ministry. Like, we all are in full-time ministry. At my job, and some of my colleagues are here, you can ask them, "I'm in full-time ministry." They're not smiling now anyway. But we all are in full-time. We all are called to be full-time. It's not always about standing here and bringing a word. I was just honored to bring the word. But other than this, I'm full-time. I'm full-time at work. I'm full-time at home. I'm full-time everywhere. Gideon. Gideon is out one day. The angel comes to him. The angel sees that, God sees that he's fit to lead Israel. And Gideon's response, like I said, he was from a poor background. So God uses Gideon. And Gideon's response was hardly, he was nervous, and he wasn't scared. Because if he was scared, he wouldn't have been out there that day, knowing that the Midianites will come and, you know, try to attack him. It says that he was the only one out there. The other people were hiding and they were scared. And I just want to read from Judges 1-6 to show that what happened to Israel. "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian for 7 years. And the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds, which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had sown, the Midianites had come up, and the Amalekites, and the people of the east had come up against them. Then they would encamp against them, and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey, for they would come up with their livestock and the tents, coming in as numerous locusts. So they were big, they were a lot. Both they and the camels were there without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished, because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So they cried out. Gideon was the man seen fit. God calls Gideon, and Gideon is scared. He's scared, you could say, but he wasn't scared like, in, oh, they're going to kill me, because he was out there on the field already. And the angel spends time with the angel. The angel assures him that God is going to use you. Gideon, you are the man. I'm going to run with you. It says in verse 18, and then Gideon asked the angel, do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. So Gideon asked the angel that, stay here, I'm going to bring an offering, I'll set it before you. And the angel replied, and he said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat. And the story goes on. He puts it on the rock, and, you know, they make a sacrifice and the offering to the Lord. So Gideon is all in it, and he's ready to do this thing with God. And God calls Gideon after he had the conversation with the angel. He was filled. He was ready to do this thing. And God gives Gideon his first task. He tells Gideon to destroy the altar of Baal, which is a big task. And Gideon went out the next morning. He went the night. He didn't want to go in the morning because he was scared that, the men in the city and even his father tried to kill him. And it says in verse 29, so they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash. This is Gideon's dad. Son of Joash has done this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. So the men came to Gideon, Gideon's father, and God gives Gideon a big task, and God gives us a big task. And how many times are we scared to take the big task? And we are scared of what people will say, we're scared of this, that, and the other thing. But when God gives me a task, I always believe that as great is he that is in you. It's like that song, and if our God is for us, I can't even sing, and if our God is for us, who can stand against us? Who can stop us? No one. If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. And in Matthew 6, verse 6, it's not, the scriptures are not in here, because it's in my heart. It's in my heart. And in Matthew 6, verse 6, it says that when you pray, go seek your Father in the quiet place, and the Father who sees you in the quiet will reward you openly. So it's about us seeking God in the quiet. Go into your quiet place and seek him in the quiet. You seek him, you see him in the quiet, and he will reward you openly. And that in the beginning of my walk with God, I really feel like this is a reward for me, because it's what I wanted to do. And I asked God, man, what must I do? I can't speak in front of people. I'm nervous, but I have a passion to share the gospel. And God, I seeked him. I seeked him in the quiet. And even this morning, I went up in the room here, and I seeked him in the quiet. And he enables us. He rewards us to do this stuff, because we seek him. Like Gideon, seek God in the quiet. Seek God in the quiet. He had favor in front of God. God's with favor in Gideon. And whenever we seek him in the quiet, he rewards us. And that reward comes when we speak to people. When you have to speak in front of 10,000 people, that reward comes. If you have to speak one-on-one with someone, that reward comes. And that reward is not a good car, this, that, and the other thing, and cool clothes and whatsoever. That reward is God speaking to us. That reward is God giving you a word of wisdom. God wants to give us a word of wisdom. God wants to speak to us. God wants us to give someone a word. It says in Isaiah 60 that says that the same that God will give us the sevenfold spirit that Jesus had, and it speaks about the spirit of wisdom, when you speak to someone, the spirit of understanding what they're saying. And God wants to give us that, the same spirit. And it says in Romans, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that dwells within us. So whenever we see God in the quiet, he rewards us in the open. And that reward will come. You need to diligently seek him in the quiet. And whenever we speak to someone, God opens our ears and our eyes. It says also that with ears to see and eyes to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So whenever you speak to someone, the same Spirit, that Spirit speaks to you, that Spirit anoints your lips, that Spirit makes you calm, makes you peaceful. And in Matthew 5 verse 14, it says, "You are the light of this world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden." In verse 15, it goes on. It says that, let me go check it out quick. Okay, it says that you are city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do the light a lamp, but put it under a lampstand. But they put it on top so that you can bring light into the house. And in verse 16 it says, "Let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Yesterday I went to go print these papers at a printing store opposite me. And I'm speaking to the lady. I'm telling her, "Just check on my stick. We are called." And I just gave the message to her as well, because wherever we go, we are the light. And wherever there is darkness, we are the light. We are the light of the world, a city on a hill. And when I spoke to her, she said that that's what she needed to hear. And I told her, download the sermon, go through the scriptures, and enjoy yourself. So back to Gideon. So God sends out Gideon. And Gideon has a task before him. He destroys the altar of Baal, and it goes on in verse 31. "But Jehovah said to all who stood against him, 'Would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let no one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If Baal is God, let him plead for himself, because he has an altar that has been torn down.' Therefore, on the day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, 'Let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down his Baal.'" And Gideon does all this amazing stuff, and God puts Gideon on like a glove. Gideon destroys the altar of Baal, and even though Gideon shows God many signs that they didn't even kill him, Gideon still asks God, "Show me something." And he asks for the sign of the fleece, because he wasn't sure that this is the right thing that God wants to do with him. He wasn't totally sure. But he's seen God doing stuff through him. And it says that in verse 36, the sign of the fleece. "So Gideon said to God, 'If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall show you that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said.' And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed out the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God," even God showed him, boom, "there you go, I've shown you something." Gideon said, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it be now dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So God gave Gideon a promise. God set the task before Gideon. I don't even check my notes because it's all in here. God gives Gideon a task, and God says to Gideon that he will take the Midianites, and he will take this and that. And God gives him a promise, and then it says that Gideon had 32,000 men with him to do the task, but God saw that 32,000 is too much, because if they would overcome, like God said they will overcome, then Israel would think that they did it by their own power. They think they did it by the men. Israel would think that, "Man, we did it. It's not God, it's us who has done it." And God saw this thing, and God told Gideon, "Okay, listen, there's too many men. Israel's going to think they've done it by their own." And it reminds me of scripture in Zechariah 6 verse 4. 4:6, sorry, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. So God wanted to show them that it's not the men around you that has saved you, it's me alone that has saved you. And Gideon tells God that, okay, God, I'm going to do this. And God sends Gideon out to the 32,000 men. That's God calling me. I'm joking. But yeah, then God sends Gideon out to the 32,000 men. And Gideon, God tells him to tell the men that whoever is fearful, whoever is scared, let them go home. And Gideon did so. And I believe that that was the best day for that man because they were scared. Because 22,000 of them departed and went home. And then God left Gideon with 10,000 men. And God still saw that it's too much. I need to narrow down the men to 300. And God says to Gideon, go down to the water and I will show you what to do. So Gideon was so obedient that he trusted God because he already did what God said. Send out the men that is fearful. So Gideon can't go again and tell them, okay, who's still fearful? Are you fearful? Are you fearful? And he had to trust God step by step. So he was so obedient, not knowing what will happen to him. And God sends Gideon out to the water, and Gideon goes out, and God gives him this command, and God shows him. It's like a vision nowadays. God shows you. And God shows him them that drink without observing, without checking for the enemy. They have to go. So 7,000 went there or something like that. 9,700, sorry, went. Because he had 10,000 men. And they went out. And God said, those that drink and observe and checks out the enemy and checks for anyone that's trying to come in, you keep that 300 men. And God tells that to Gideon. Gideon is obedient. And he does that 300 men. He goes in with only 300 men. And I'm just going to make the story short. And Gideon won the battle with 300 men. And without any weapons, he destroyed the Midianites. And without, he only had a lamp and a horn. So it's not by might, nor by power, but by God's spirit that Gideon does it. And God wants to use us. God sees us as Gideons, as mighty people. And we need to be obedient whenever God calls us to something. And in Acts 20, verse 24, Paul goes to this. He had to go to Jerusalem. He was on an island, and you know, they warned him that if you go, there's great danger ahead. We don't want you to die. Just stay here with us. And Paul says that mighty man of God, Paul, great man of faith, Paul tells him that the Holy Spirit is telling me that I will be in prison. I will see hard stuff. It's going to be hardships. There's going to be a man is going to be dangerous. And next 20, verse 24, Paul says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus Christ has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. And in the beginning of my walk, I was 1 month old in God, and I didn't have a job at the time because I was at home still. And man, when I came to God, my first month, all I did was I spent time in the Word, and I seek God, and I still seek Him today. And I would go to the gym, and I would do some bicep curls. 10 minutes in, then I felt like, man, I have a hungerness, I want to go home. And then I went straight home, in the Bible, I was in my room you can ask my mother for whenever, for all day. I wasn't lazy to gym, but I had a hungerness for the Word. Says, blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I had this hungerness for God, and I came to God. Everything in my life stopped. My friends didn't see me. I was all alone seeking God. And they would ask me, man, where are you? What are you doing? What are you doing? And I told them that now I found God. And they were like, man, yeah, we found God. We know God as well. So you'll find people saying, yeah, we know God. Everybody knows God, but does God know you? Are you in favor with God? Are you a mighty warrior for God? Can He use you? That's the questions I asked myself when I started my walk with God. People told me that you need to slow down. You need to live a balanced life. This, that, and, you know, God is not everything, but God is everything. And God set a task on all of our lives. There is a task. It's a race. And never slow down. We need to run hard so we can finish well. We need to run hard. We need to put it in. And it's exactly what Paul did. Doesn't matter if you're in prison. Doesn't matter if you face hardships. Doesn't matter whatever you go through. And how do you qualify? What's your qualifications to be used by God? What's your qualifications to be used like God used Gideon? What's the qualification? What must I do? That's my daily prayer. That's what I ask God. What must I do? It was my daily prayer until God answered me. In the beginning, like, man, God, I want to do this. I went to intercession my first month, and they pray, and they pray in tongues, and I'm standing, and I don't know. I can't speak. My lips sealed. Can't speak. And then God told me, seek me in your quiet, and I will reward you in the open. And I seeked him in the quiet, and he rewards us. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 6. That it's impossible to please God without faith. And he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's what God revealed to me. And I see God wherever I go. It's always a mission. There's always something happening. And I ask God in the beginning, God, what must I do? And God gives me Romans 12, verse 1. And therefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So all God is asking of us is to give up what you have. Give up your life. Give up your life. Give up all you have. I want you. You have been made in my image and in my likeness. It's none of you. It's all of me. So all God is asking for us, how do you qualify? How do you get used by God? This is a living sacrifice, something that is alive, something that moves and has its being. So God is asking of us to stand on the altar and to say, God, use me. Take me. It's a living sacrifice. Sacrifice who you are and sacrifice your time. Sacrifice everything. Sacrifice some of your friends that will lead you the other way. Sacrifice them. I've got more for you. God told me that, and it says in Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's a renewing process. It's not renewed. It's being renewed every morning when I wake up. God renews my mind, and he fills my mind. And when I came to him, he gave me a new mind. And it continues that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Same like Gideon. Like, God, show me. God, give me this. Give me a vision, God. Show me that I'm going the right way, Lord. And we only find that in our word. It says that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. A lamp. So God shows you where to go, where to step into, and he shows you the light where you will be going. So that's how God uses us, and that's what we need to qualify for. We need to sacrifice up all we have, all that we are. So you might ask me, what is the call we are called? What is the call? And the call is in Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and I'm with you always. That's a promise. I'm with you always. Wherever you go, I'm with you. And God has called us to go into the world and to be the light. Do you see my wallpaper? I have a passion for people like that. I have a passion for people that needs God, people that's out on the streets, people that needs him. And all creation is eagerly waiting for the sons of God to arise. And just like God used Gideon, mighty man of valor, mighty warrior, Gideon, you can do this thing. And I really believe God wants to do mighty things in this church. I've seen the church, and I've seen how it has grown, and I've seen the hunger, and it's amazing to see. And we need to step in. We need to seek him more every day. There's an abundance of him. There's never just a little. There's never just that much. There is enough. Jesus paid the price. God used him. God used Jesus to reconcile back to us. And it says in Corinthians, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile people back to God. So we have what it takes to go into the world and to be the light, like it says in Matthew 5:14. And last year God kept me in James 1 for 8 months, and I was reading James 1 and reading all the time, and I think I shared with a lot of people. I can remember sharing with Philip, go read James 1, man, it's cool, go read it. And that's what God wants to do. And He keeps me in James 1. He kept me in James 1 for 8 months. And God taught me to be patient. Patience. I really believe we as Christians should model patience. We should model it like wherever we go, patience. Because we're always in a hurry to be wherever we need to be, that we totally forget the task that the Lord has set before us. And patience is key. What's the first quality of love? Patience. What's the first fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love. So love is patience. And God had to show me it because I was very impatient. Like, you can ask my mother, I was very impatient. And God has just slowed my patience down. And it showed me that you need to be patient. Patient. I don't have the scripture up there, James 1, but it says that we need to find joy when we're in difficult situations. It says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, lacking nothing. So God wants us to be perfect. People tell me, yo, you want to be perfect? I'm not being perfect, but I know someone that is perfect, and He wants me to be perfect. And it continues, James 1, it says that if you lack wisdom, go and ask the Lord. He gives to all without reproach. But when you ask, ask in faith. Ask in faith. So whenever there's a difficult time, and there are going to be difficult times, persecution is coming. But blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness. And so whenever we're in situations that's tough, we kind of tend to lose the focus of what God wants us to do, because we allow the world to shape and mold us, and we allow the world to be our potter and to shape us and mold us. But it shouldn't be like that. God is the ultimate potter. He's the ultimate one that shapes us and molds us. So whenever we find ourselves in difficult times, and I was in a lot of difficult times last year, God showed me through patience. He showed me that I need to be patient. Through James, He showed me that I need to be patient. And it says that God gives to all without reproach. But if you ask, ask in faith. And in Hebrews 11, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And in Hebrews 11, it goes on, and it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Like I just said now, it's impossible to please God without faith. And God says, if you do not ask in faith, you're like a wind. You're like a wave of the sea, tossed and turned by the wind. You're unstable in your ways. You are double-minded. And God had to take me through that tough time to teach me patience. 3 weeks ago, I'm in Pick and Pay, and there's like a few huge line, like straight up. And I'm standing, I'm at the cashier, the one that works behind the till cashier. And she's working and busy, and I'm waiting for my stuff. And, you know, it reminded me, I was standing there, and God reminded me of Matthew 5, verse 14, you are the light of this world. And as I looked around, I saw people grumpy, like they want to get to their stuff, and they want to go home, impatience. And some of them might have been Christians as well, impatient. And the lady is working at the cashier, and she's having a tough time. I can see that she's under stress. I don't know if it was the first day or first week, or she's going through tough times, but she's like struggling. And I'm standing there, and God opens my eyes and my ears, says to eyes, with eyes to see and ears to hear, the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and God shows me this grumpy people here. God sees me do something about it. And Omi is there, like Omini. So I'm scared. I was scared, like, oof. And, you know, the best way to describe it is like you give someone an orange juice. Like, here's orange juice. And when they drink it, it turns out to be like a lemon, like sour and not nice. And they were like that grumpy. And I'm standing in front, and that scripture comes up. You are the light of this world. City on a hill that cannot be hidden. nor did they light the lamp, put it under a basket, but they put it on top so that you can shine. And I'm telling you, I'm speaking loud, like, I love the work that you are doing. Like, thank you for serving me. Take your time. Take your time. And these people in the line, they're checking me out, like, what take is wrong with this guy? We're waiting here, and are you telling her to take your time? And that's where patience comes in. Wherever we go, she had to hear that she need to be patient. And that people that was in the line, they, some of them might have been Christians. And it says in Peter 3:15 that, be ready to give account for this hope that you have. And my question is, how many times do people ask you, yo, man, what's that hope that you have? Like, even in my life, I'm only like two people asked me this year, and there should be more, because it says be ready. So you always need to be ready for this hope that is in you. And that people in that line, they thought like, man, what is wrong with you, man? Where does this guy get all the patience from? So we need to be patient. And this morning, I'm really honored to be here. I haven't actually gone through the notes, but it's in here. It says in Isaiah 16, arise and shine, for your light has come. The light is us, and the time is coming. We need to shine. There's still dangerous times coming, and we need to shine. If we can't face stuff now, we'll be face it in 10 years or 13 years. And Isaiah 11 talks about the Spirit of God. It talks about the Spirit that was upon Jesus, and it's the same Spirit that rose Him from the dead. And God wants to give us that same Spirit, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is everything. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, you have nothing. The fear of the Lord is liking what God likes and pushing away stuff that God does not like. And this morning, God wants to give us so much, man. He loves us so much, and we really need to push in, and we need to be who Jesus says we are. It doesn't matter what's happening in our lives. It's always to be patient and to take this thing by storm. Like God used Gideon like a glove. God wants to use us all like that glove. Del, can you guys just come up and can worship? I want to read us something from Isaiah 61. Can we just stand this morning? Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for all the joy, God. Thank you, Father, that you have called us, Lord. You have called us to be the light, Lord. Lord, you have called us for your purpose, Lord. And Father, you have set the task before us today, Lord. And Father, my praise, Lord, as we go out, Lord, that Father, that we will be that light, God, that wherever we go, Lord, that we will bring forth the light, Lord. Wherever there is darkness in our lives, Lord, that we will diligently seek you in the quiet, Lord. That we will diligently seek you, Father, Lord, and that you will show us who you are in the quiet, Lord, so that we can go out in the open and that we can live the life, Lord, that pleases you, Lord, that we can be the living sacrifices, God, that you need, Lord, for your kingdom to come on earth, Lord. Father, we declare, Lord, that there's no other name given to men under heaven by which we will be saved. Jesus, we thank you this morning that you have laid out your life, that you have paid the ultimate price for us, Lord. Father, that you have given everything, Father, so that we may live, so that we can move and have our being, Lord. That we know the Father. That we have a relationship with the Father. Father, I thank you, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that there is life in abundance in you, God. Father, we want more of you this morning, God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will light a fire inside of us, God. That you will light a fire, God, that will never burn out. Lord, for your fire is the same. You are the same today, yesterday, and forever. It says in James 1, with God there is no shadow of turning, there's no variation. He is the same. It's the same He was yesterday and today. Father, I ask, Lord, that the fire, Lord, that's inside of us, God, that you will burn down fires, Lord, that's not supposed to be there, God.
Father, I ask, Lord, that you burn down that fires, God. That you break down that walls, our blind spots, God. Father, and as you torn the veil, God, I ask that you torn everything inside of us, God. That you will clean us, Lord. That you will clean us, God. Father, that you will use us, Lord, as mighty vessels for your kingdom. Father, that you will send us out into darkness, Lord. Lord, that, Father, that you will anoint our lips, Father. Lord, that whatever we say, Lord, will bring glory to your name. Whatever we say, Lord, whatever we say will be good. Whatever we say will be good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, we say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for your presence here, God. Thank you, Lord, that we can have as much of you as we want, God. Thank you, Lord, that you are the everlasting life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that in you is life, Lord. Broad is the way that leads to all death and destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Eternal life with the Father. Eternal life. Where there's no pain, where there's no envy, where there's no grumpiness, where there's no hardships. Well, there is hardships, but it doesn't get to us. Father, thank you that you live inside of us, God. Thank you, Lord, that you enable us, Lord. That you enable us, Lord, and that you give us life, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thirst for your kingdom, Lord. We thirst for your righteousness, Lord. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name, God. Thank you, Father, Lord, that you love us so much, God, that you gave your one and only Son, that we can have life. That we can have life, that we can shine, God. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This is the year of the Lord. God, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, the clean in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And the most important one, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted for me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And it says in Acts, the day of Pentecost, as soon as the God anointed the Acts, guys in the Acts, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, they were filled. And Peter, they denied God three times. Peter, that denied God, was the boldest of them all. And he stood in front of 3,000 people, not knowing if they would kill him. But he spoke truth and grace over him. And he cuts them to the heart. He cuts them. And they ask him, "Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?" Peter says that you need to give your life. You need to give your life. And this morning I want to invite you. If you feel that you have a passion to speak, if you struggle to connect with people, if your lips are sealed, I want you to come forward and we'll have a ministry team up here and we'll pray for you that God will anoint your lips, that God will open your lips. That God will open your lips. God will open your lips and that you will manifest His goodness and your glory. Matthew 28:19, go into the world and make disciples. You don't make disciples by just speaking. You don't make disciples by just speaking the word of the Lord. You need to love the word of the Lord. You need to become the word. It says in John, Jesus was the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And God wants us to become that word. His grace is enough. So I'm inviting you this morning to come forward. If you have a passion but you don't know how to speak, struggling to connect, I want you to come forward and we'll pray. As we see the apostles in Acts, after they've done all this amazing stuff, after God's Spirit was upon them, they came back. They went back to the upper room and they asked God for more. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. They went back for more, which means they were poor in spirit. They wanted more. And this morning there is more. There's more in abundance. There's more in abundance. And as the band is worshiping, I want you to come forward so that we can pray, so that the fire of God may fall on you, so that you may be touched this morning. Nothing pleases the Father more than for His children to go out and be bold for Him, to speak the word of God in confidence, knowing that they are right in the sight of the Lord, knowing that they are honored by God, knowing that they are honored by God. Father, I thank you for these people, Lord. Father, thank you for their boldness. Thank you, Lord, that they want more of you, Lord. Thank you that they want to proclaim your goodness on all earth to see, God. Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you give us all that we need to love for you, God. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. There's no other name. There's no other name. Jesus, there's no other name. Father, I thank you, Lord. Jesus' name, God. Father, I thank you. Yes, Lord Jesus, touch us, God. Fire of God, touch us now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.